Welcome to Storyteller Theater's Playcast series, a reimagined season of theatrically adapted classics in the time of COVID-19. Beginning October 12th through November 16th, we are proud and pleased to bring you Kenneth Grahame's The Wind in the Willows. So sit back and let us take you to a time and place where life stands still and each day is filled with friendship and adventure. We hope you enjoy The Wind in the Willows, Part 1, The River.
In a quiet spot, time and life become in between, and the days are slow and filled to the brim with life's simplest pleasures. In this wooded area, you can hear nature hum, moving along. The riverbank skips and laughs, and the creatures who live in this private spot of the world share its resources with ease and gaiety. On this special day, spring air above and the earth below, piercing even the darkest and lowliest of houses. It was on this spring day that the mole was working feverishly on his spring cleaning.
Busy, busy.
Yes, quite dedicated mole went about tidying up his home, first with the brooms, then with dusters, then on ladders.
Yes, with ladders, and steps, and chairs, and a brush, and a pail of paint, with dust in my throat, in my eyes, and whitewash all over my black fur, and an aching back, and oh, my arms.
Are you quite finished?
Father,
what will you do now?
Hang spring cleaning.
Mole, where are you going? And without your nice coat, too.
Blow.
Something up above was calling to Mole.
Calling, calling.
Mole made for the steep little tunnel out of his house, which was much further away than many of the other animals near to the sun and air. He scratched.
Scratch.
He scraped.
Scraped.
He scratched. He bruised.
Oh, don't forget scabbled.
Right. And scrabbled his way up to the top.
Up we go, up we go, up we go.
Pop! Out went the mole until he found himself rolling around happily in a meadow.
Oh, why, this is fine, much better than whitewashing. Oh, what noise? You lot, would you mind keeping it down? You can't spoil this day. This day is the joy of living. No more cleaning.
Right, hold up there, mate. That will be sixpence for the privilege of passing by the privet road.
I beg your pardon. Cannot stop today. I'm following my calling.
Stop it! Stop! Onion sauce! Onion sauce!
Mole was in no mood to listen today, nor pay the sixpence. He bowled the rabbit over impatiently. Whomever or whatever was calling Mole was beyond anyone's guess. Hither and thither, he was on his way.
Would you look at that? Why, hello! Keep right along, building birds. Good job growing their buds. What a nice change of pace. Everything and everyone happy, progressive, occupied. A nice change, much more entertaining than whitewash.
But the whitewash mole. Whitewash!
Take a message, please. I'm on holiday. I've just decided. Now, you might be thinking, silly mole, you've never even taken a holiday. How would you know what it is? And I say to you, fellows, a holiday is not as much resting for yourself, but for the satisfaction in seeing all the other blokes busy working.
He thought his happiness was complete when, as he meandered aimlessly along, suddenly he stood by the edge of a full-fed river.
What a funny-looking animal this is. Aren't you all a shake and a shiver? Well, I've never seen anything as sleek as you before. Listen to how you talk, chuckling and burbling and gurgling.
Never seen such a thing as a river. With all its fascination, he was utterly entranced.
Oh, do go on, River. Tell me all the stories you know. I could listen to you babble all day.
As Mole lay beside the riverbank, enchanted with all the life and death spring had to offer, he had many thoughts about what it must be like to reside above ground like other animals.
You know, River, life waterside might not be too bad. Of course, with the housing rates fluctuating, one never knows. But what's life without a little risk?
It was at this moment that something bright and small seemed to twinkle down in the heart of the water, vanished, then twinkled once more like a tiny star.
But it could hardly be a star in such an unlikely situation, and it is too glittering and small for a glowworm.
Then, as he looked, it winked at him and so declared itself to be an eye. And a small face began gradually to grow up round it, like a frame round a picture.
A brown little face with whiskers.
A gray, round face with the same twinkle in its eye that had first attracted his notice. The two creatures regarded each other.
Small, neat ears and thick, silky hair.
It was a water rat.
Hello, Mole.
Hello, rat.
Would you like to come over? We could talk.
Talk? It's all very well to talk.
While Mole was behaving pettishly, for he was new to the river and its ways of life, his weak and adjusting eye on to a little boat.
A nice little boat, just the perfect shade of blue. I'd very much like to sit in a boat like that.
Step lively then, Mole.
What, me? And this is your boat?
Whose else would it be? Now get in, man, and make sure that you lean. No, and go. No. Lean on that. Lean on that. Oh, my God.
Day. Did you know I've never been on a boat before in my whole life?
You'd think.
Really, never have I ever.
By Jove, man, what have you been doing then?
Not much of anything, I suppose.
Well, yeah, you're doing something now.
Our boat's really so nice as all that.
Nice? It's the only thing worth doing, being with or living for.
Do you say?
Believe me, my young friend, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, half so much worth doing as simply messing about in boats. Simply messing. Messing about in boats. Messing
about. Oh,
it was too late. The boat struck the bank at full tilt. Backwards, boots in the air, and all to say...
In or out of them, it doesn't matter. Nothing seems really to matter, that's the charm of it. Whether you get away or whether you don't, whether you arrive at your destination or whether you reach somewhere else, or whether you never get anywhere at all. You're always busy, and you never do anything in particular. And when you've done it, there's always something else to do, and you can do it if you like, but you've... Much better not. look here. If you've really nothing else on hand this morning, well, suppose we drop down the river together and have a long day of it.
Oh, what a day I'm having. What a day. Let us start at once.
hold just a minute, fellow.
At this moment, Rat disappeared and then reappeared carrying the weight of a very fat wicker luncheon basket.
Why, Ratty, one can only imagine the inner contents of that I'll skip.
Here, Mole, shove that under your feet.
Whatever is inside it.
Oh, per usual. Picnic lunches. There's cold chicken inside it. Cold tongue, cold ham, cold beef, pickled gherkin, salad, French rolls, crust sandwiches, potted meat, ginger beer, lemonade, soda water, and let's see what else we have here.
Stop. This is too much.
Oh, do you really think so? Oh, well, it's what I take on all these little excursions.
Mole was not listening. He continued to allow himself to be absorbed in the majesty of the new life he was entering upon. All of the sparkle, wonder, scent, and sounds of the sunlight. He placed his paw in the water and dreamed long waking dreams.
I awfully like your clothes, old chap. I would very much like to have a black velvet bathrobe myself someday, as soon as I can afford it.
Oh, I beg your pardon. You must think me very rude, but all of this is so new to me. What I mean is, this is a river.
The river?
And you live by the river. Oh, what a jolly life.
By it, and with it, and on it, and in it. It's brother and sister to me, and aunt and company, and food and drink, and naturally, washing. It's my world, and I don't want any other. What it hasn't got is not worth having, and what it doesn't know is not worth knowing. Lord! These times we have had together, whether in winter or summer, spring or autumn, it's always got its fun and its excitements. Oh, when the floods are on in February and my cellars and basement are brimming with drink, that's no good to me, and the brown water runs by my best bedroom window, or again, when it all drops away and shows patches of mud. And that smells like plum cake. And the rushes and weed clog the channels, and I can potter about dry shard over most of the bed of it and find fresh food to eat. And things careless people have dropped out of boats. Oh,
but isn't it a bit dull at times, all alone in the river with no one else to pass a word with?
No one else? Mole. Well, you can't help it. After all, you are a bit new to this part of the world. excuse me. I'm being rude. this bank is so crowded nowadays that people are considering moving away altogether.
You don't say.
I do say. And it isn't what it used to be. Not at all. No, and otters, kingfishers, damn chicks, moorhens, all day long. And always wanting to do something. As if I didn't happen to have my own life to attend to.
Mole thought about this for a while. And as he was thinking, his small eyes meandered to a dark woodland past the outward edge of the riverbank.
That? Oh, well, it's just the wild wood. We riverbankers don't go there much.
Are there nice people in there?
The squirrels are all right, and the rabbits, some of them, actually. You know, rabbits are a mixed lot. Very jumpy. There's Badger, of course. Now, he lives right in the heart of the wild wood. Wouldn't live anywhere else either if you paid him to do it. They'd better not.
Why? Who should interfere with him?
There are others. Other animals, such as weasels and stoats and foxes. They are all right. I'm very good friends with many of them, but every now and then they get out and make havoc to where you can't really trust them.
Mole thought it would be impolite to continue this conversation. He didn't know these folks, and to continue discussing them negatively would be in poor taste.
And how about over there, beyond the wildwood? It looks blue and dim and something like the smoke of a town. But is it just cloud drift?
Beyond the wildwood comes the wide world. And that is something that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter either to you or me. And I've never been there, and I'm never going. Nor you either, if you got any sense at all. Now, don't ever refer to it again, please. No. Now then. Here's our backwater, at last, where we're going to have lunch.
Leaving the main stream of the river, they now passed into what seemed at first sight like a little landlocked lake. Green turf sloped down to either edge. Brown, snaky tree roots gleamed below the surface of the quiet water, while ahead of them the silvery shoulder and foamy tumble of rippled water. It was so very beautiful that the mole could only hold up both forepaws and gasp.
Please, Ratty, let me help unpack the luncheon basket.
Rat was more than happy to allow Mole to help as he sprawled out lazily on the grass to rest. When Mole was finished arranging the food and settling the tablecloth for their delightful picnic, both friends were eager to dive in.
Pitch in, old fellow.
Oh, dear, this smells delicious. I have been spring cleaning since early. My, this is a real treat.
What are you looking at?
I am looking at a streak of bubbles that I see traveling along the surface of the water. That is the thing that strikes me as odd.
Bubbles? What? Otter! Otter, come on up, chap.
Greedy beggars. And why wasn't I invited, Ratty?
Today was quite an impromptu affair, friend. Speaking of friends, might I introduce you to my new friend, Mo?
A pleasure. We are now friends here forthwith. Ratty, you wouldn't believe. A rumpus. Rumpus everywhere.
Oh? Do go on.
All the world seems to be out on the river today. I came up this backwater to try and get a moment's peace. Now I happen upon you fellows. Oh, well, I don't exactly mean that, you know.
At that moment, a rustle was heard among the leaves behind them.
I see you, Badger, you old codger. Come on out.
No, thank you. Company. Company everywhere.
That's just the sort of fellow he is. Simply hates society. Well, we most certainly shan't see any more of him today. Well, Otter, who exactly is on the river today?
Obviously, Toad's out, for one. In his brand new wager boat, no less. New togs, new everything.
That's right. Once it was nothing but sailing.
He's tired of that. Punting. Nothing would please him. Punt all day and every day, and a nice messy made of it.
Yes, last year it was houseboating, and we all had to go and stay with him in his houseboat and pretend we liked it.
He was going to spend the rest of his life in a houseboat.
It's all the same. Whatever he takes up, he gets tired of it and starts on something fresh.
Such a good fellow, too. But no stability, especially in a boat.
Oh, is that him over there?
The very one.
Oh, he'll be out of the boat in a minute if he rolls like that.
Of course he will. Did I ever tell you that good story about Toad and the lock keeper? It happened this way. Toad.
Yes, Toad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so sorry. I see a mayfly buzzing around. That's my lunch. Good day.
Well. I suppose we ought to be moving. I wonder which of us had better pack the luncheon basket.
Please, Daddy, let me.
Packing the basket was not quite such pleasant work as unpacking the basket. It never is. But the mole was bent on enjoying everything. And although just when he had got the basket packed and strapped up tightly, he saw a plate staring up at him from the grass. And when the job had been done again, the rat pointed out a fork, which anybody ought to have seen. And last of all, behold, the mustard pot, which he had been sitting on without knowing it. Still, somehow, the thing got finished at last,
without much loss of temper. The afternoon sun was getting low as the rat stole gently homeward in a dreamy mood, murmuring poetry things over to himself, and not paying much attention to Mole. But the Mole was very full of lunch, and self-satisfaction, and pride, and already quite at home in a boat, so he thought, and was getting a bit restless besides. And presently he said,
Ratty, please, I want to rest now.
Not yet, my young friend. Wait till you've had a few lessons. Oh, it's not as easy as it looks.
The mole was quiet for a minute or two, but he began to feel more and more jealous of Rat sculling so strongly and so easily along. And his pride began to whisper that he could do it every bit as well. He jumped up and seized the skull so suddenly that the rat was taken by surprise and fell backwards off his seat with his legs in the air for the second time, while the triumphant mole took his place and grabbed the skull with entire confidence.
Mole! Mole! Stop it! Stop it! You can't do it! You don't know how to do it! You're over! Stop it! Find out!
As everything got and go, the next moment, over went the boat, and Mole found himself struggling in the river.
Help!
Oh my, how cold the water was! And oh, how very wet it felt! How it sang in his ears as he went down, down, down. How bright and welcome the sun looked as he rose to the surface, coughing and fluttering. How black was his despair when he felt himself sinking again. Then a firm paw gripped him by the back of his neck. It was the rat. He was evidently laughing. The mole could feel him laughing, rubbed down his arm and threw his paw into his, the mole's, neck. The rat got hold of a skull and shoved it under the mole's arm by the other side of him, and swimming behind, propelled the helpless animal to shore, pulled him out, and set him down on the bank. A squashing, pulpy lot of misery.
Now then, old fellow, no need to cry. Just trot up and down the path as hard as you can until you're warm and dry now. Well, I'll drive in for the luncheon basket.
So the dismal mole, wet without and ashamed within, trotted about till he was fairly dry, while the rat plunged into the water again, recovered the boat, righted her, and made her fast, fetched his floating property to shore by degrees, and finally dived successfully for the luncheon basket and struggled to land with it.
Ratty, my generous friend, I am very sorry indeed for my foolish and ungrateful conduct. My heart quite fails me when I think how I might have lost that beautiful luncheon basket. Indeed, I have been an utter fool, and I know it. Will you forgive me, and let things go on as before?
That's all right. Now, bless you, what's a little wet to a water rat? I'm more in the water than out of it most days. Don't you think any more about it. And look here. Now, I really think you had better come and live with me for a little time. It's a very plain and rough home, you know, not like Toad's house at all. But you haven't seen that yet. Now still, I believe it to be comfortable. And I'll teach you to row and to swim, and you'll soon be as handy as the water and on the water as any of us.
Oh, Ratty, I don't even know what to say.
Well, say you'll stay. Huh?
Oh, yes. I'd love to stay on the river.
Yes. The mole was so touched by his kind manner of speaking that he could find no voice to answer him, and he had to brush away a tear or two with the back of his paw. Mole had never had a real friend before, nor lived anywhere else but his underground home. It was a happy occasion to be in good company. When they got to Rat's home, the rat made a bright fire in the parlor and planted the mole in an armchair in front of it, having fetched down pajamas and slippers for him, and told him river stories till supper time. Very thrilling stories they were, too. Stories about sudden floods and steamers, about herons and how particular they were whom they spoke to, and about adventures down drains and night fishing with otter, or excursions far afield with badger. Supper was a most cheerful meal, but very shortly afterwards a terribly sleepy mole had to be escorted upstairs by his considerate host to the best bedroom, where he soon laid his head on his pillow in great peace and contentment.
What an incredible friendship the rat and mole have. I often wonder where their small little place in the world might be. We would love to hear your thoughts. What was your favorite part? Which character do you enjoy listening to the most? You can email us at storytellertheaterartsco@gmail.com or write us a review through our Facebook at Storyteller Theater Arts Co. and tell us all about it. If you enjoyed this episode, please tune into the next section, Part 1, The Open Road, for a worldly romp with Mr. Toad, Rat, and Mole. See you next time in the Willows.